Eternal Father, as we open Thy Word, we open our minds and our souls as open windows to let the light and the freshness of heaven shine into our beings. May Thy good Spirit bless and direct our thoughts this hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Issachar and Reuben, 17, Gilead, Gad, and Dan, and Asher, and Zebulun, and Naphtali. This roster of the tribes rings like Revelation 7. From each of the tribes, not quite, but almost all there. There are some tribes you listen to hear their voice in vain. Where were they when the clarion call was issued? Come up. What about verse 23? Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Now if you care to read in the index to the writings of Ellen White, look up Meroz. She has a great deal to say about Meroz. It becomes a type, it's a symbol. It's a category. It's a group of persons. What were they? They came not to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Here was a need. Here was a gate opened by the Spirit of God leading to triumph. Here was the Spirit of prophecy functioning, a living witness. Here was a dedicated leader. The cry went on, come, help us. But Meroz stands for those people who came not to the help of the Lord. And they've got very powerful genes. They never die out. They breed from generation to generation. There are some members of Meroz listening to my voice this morning. When the cry comes to help, they're not there. They never respond. As soon as the call comes, they set their active brains to fabricating excuses. And when they pronounce them, they consider them valid reasons. They've got something to do, somewhere to go, some relative is coming, their corns are hurting them, something is the matter. They do not come to the help of the Lord against the enemy. This is part of life. Part of the tragedy of moving out from the orbit of service into the bondage of Satan, to be taken by him at his will and destroyed in his good time. The cry goes out to the tribes, come! And the tribes respond, some of them. In the book of Revelation, the cry goes out to the tribes. What are these tribes? They're a microcosm of humanity. They're a cross-section of society. As we look through the symbolic picture of the scriptures to the New Jerusalem, we see 12 gates. And inscribed above each gate is the name of a tribe. Go through the Bible sometime. You can start with Haskell's book, Cross in Its Shadow, and read the end section on the 12 tribes. Each of those 12 tribes represent a characteristic. Reuben represents a certain group of persons. So does Gad. So does Naphtali. Natural human beings. Gad, how do you picture him? I see him with his elbow on a bar, on the deck of a bar. I see his foot up on the brass rod. I see a tankard of some kind of brew in front of him. And I see him slapping his thigh with a thigh-slapping joke. Surrounded by laughing people. Gad. Naphtali. I can't see it, but he's got lace round his pants. Smells of perfume. He's got manicured fingernails. Gate into the city, Mark Gad, Mark Naphtali. Reuben, I see him waiting till his father is out of the house, committing incest with his mother. That's what the Bible says he did. Stepmother. Is there a place for the kingdom of heaven for such? Sure. One of the gates is marked Reuben. What's God trying to tell us? Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what you've done. The plan of salvation is powerful enough to undo every sin, to transform every character, to wash out every defilement, to translate into his kingdom every wandering citizen. What he's trying to tell us. And the spirit of prophecy through Deborah sends a clarion call, call the tribes together. Call them together and seal them with the seal of the living God as they face the enemy. What are they doing? They respond. And as they respond, verse 13, the enemy gathers himself together. That's chapter 4. With his chariots, 900 chariots of arms, all the people that were with him. And Deborah said to Barak, up, this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera. This is the day. Her message is tied to time, to the urgency of time. This is the day. The Lord hath delivered. We meet a defeated foe, one already overcome, one already bound and delivered. So Barak went down, verse 14. The little handful of men with him. And the Lord, verse 15, discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts. And they fled away. Barak pursued. Sisera fled, verse 17, into the house of Jael, and you know the story. She nailed him down to the ground. And thus perished the enemies. And Deborah sang, and Barak sang, praise ye the Lord, verse 2, for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Here is the picture. Willingly offered themselves. Like Meroz in verse 23, because they came not to the help of the Lord. Others willingly offered themselves. You know, in the final church, historically, there are two classes. The Church of Laodicea, two classes. Ellen White has said on two occasions that she was shown that the Laodicean condition represented by the five foolish virgins. Beside the five foolish virgins, there are five wise virgins. And the interesting part about Christ's allegory is that we have the option of moving from one class into the other at will. Here were those who willingly offered themselves, and there were those who were like Meroz. The option is there. Choice is before us. The spirit of prophecy is calling. We can move out of the doldrum of sleepiness into the freshness of the day dawn where the day star rides with healing in his wings. choice is ours. God is repeating to us today through the spirit of prophecy what he has done in days gone by a dozen times and more. Where are we going to stand? Stay among Laodicea or move into Philadelphia? Be without oil, without the word, without our lamp, without anything in darkness as the foolish virgins? Or fill our vessel with the oil of the Spirit and have luminous the inspired word? With our eyes open, waiting for the bridegroom to come, to go from the land of enemy into the land of triumph, not looking for personal honor, not looking for signs of personal victory, but following on to know the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. How is it with you today? How do you stand before him? How will it be with you in the final reckoning? Will you march through the gates into that city? People have despised Reuben. They've laughed at Gad. They've simpered at Naphtali. They've been disgusted with the stolidness of Zebulun. Respond to the voice of the Spirit in your soul. This triumph, presaging the final triumph, will be the guarantee of your victory. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank thee for the many avenues through which thou dost direct our minds to better things. We pray this day for grace, for love, for willingness to learn, for discipline to obey and follow, so that as we establish our homes in this 20th they may be as heavens, to prepare the inmates for a stay in thine eternal abode. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.